Every week here on KNKX, we tell stories from around the Northwest on our show Sound Effect. That's where we get our next story. Sound Effect host Gabriel Spitzer can tell you more.
Immigrants and refugees can find themselves plopped down into completely foreign terrain. The language sounds like gibberish, people look different, the customs are unfamiliar. And that's how it was years ago for Saporn Sim when she fled Cambodia in 1979. Now she's working to ease that transition for other refugees, and through the environmental nonprofit ECOS, helps show them how to live healthier lives in the Seattle area. 88.5's Bellamy Palethorpe went to meet her at a fishing pier on the Lower Duwamish Waterway.
This is not the kind of place where you would expect to find a fishing pier. There are large trucks constantly rumbling by on their way to port, some trains too. Containers are piled high in several directions, and there's a cement plant nearby. This is the heart of industrial Seattle. But tucked away beneath the Spokane Street Viaduct and the West Seattle Bridge is one of the most popular areas for locals to catch fish.
During the salmon season, you can see packed of fishers standing shoulder to shoulder and try to fish from here.
It's kind of amazing to think in this industrial place right on the highway that you'd have fishermen shoulder to shoulder.
Yes, shoulder to shoulder during the fishing season.
Saporn Sim has spent a lot of time here observing and talking to fishermen for a public health study with the EPA and local authorities. Because this is actually one of the worst places to fish for anything but salmon. Soil at the bottom of the river is full of chemicals such as PCBs, dioxin, and arsenic. And any fish that live in this part of the river are not safe to eat. Signs here warn of that health risk. But Saporn says their study found that still at least a quarter of the anglers here take home tainted crab, flounder, perch, and other bottom fish.
The thing is, majority of people who fish are, you know, people of color, the non-English speaking people, and the sign does not help them because they don't read and write the language.
That experience of being in a foreign land and not understanding how everyday things in a shiny new place could actually harm you is something Saporn Sim knows all too well. And though she's a small and very modest person, she has quite a story to tell. She fled the war in Cambodia when she was 13 and spent all of her teen years in a refugee camp. But before we get to that, let's hear how she grew up in a small village in Battambang province.
My parents were farmers. We were poor, but life was very peaceful before the war. We make a living by growing rice crop. I was carried in the cart that was carried by the cow to the farm with my dad, with my mom. My dad plowed using the cow to pull, and I was behind him collecting snail, water snail, and catching fish right along the plow.
They told time by the sun and would break for lunch at noon when it was straight up in the sky. Her mom harvested vegetables fresh from the farm and cooked them with the snails and crabs and fish that the kids caught every day.
Everything all natural, resources clean, because no industrial, nothing. It's very organic. It was beautiful, the life back then. I really miss that so much.
This peaceful rural life was soon shattered by war. The Vietnamese army was occupying the country after overthrowing the communists in the Khmer Rouge regime. Their mother fled first. A few months later, in 1979, Saporn and her brother followed.
We walked days and nights and weeks and months to just walk across the border. Some people blasted by landmines.
Others were robbed. She remembers seeing bodies strewn around. She suffered from severe asthma and thought she wouldn't make it. They traveled more than 700 miles.
It was hard, but I was lucky to be alive.
That luck held up, and they made it, with tens of thousands of others, to Khao Dang, a refugee camp in eastern Thailand. She lived there for 6 years, learning to read and write behind barbed wire. She got beat up once for sneaking out of the camp to forage for firewood, but eventually it became a kind of home.
That was like a better place for me already, that's what I thought. So even though we didn't have everything, there's no much resources, but still better than during the communist regime.
When Saporn was 19, they got refugee status with a sponsor in Spokane, Washington. They arrived in the winter of 1985.
That was a really culture shock for me because I never seen snow in my life before I arrived to the United States. As soon as I got off the airplane, my teeth were chattering.
Did you know what snow was?
We have heard something about that, but it's just never seen in real. It was so cold too because I came from a country where it's warm all the time, and it was so much different.
After about 6 or 7 months, they moved to Seattle and settled in an apartment in South Park. And because it was still so cold to them, they never opened any windows. Black mold covered the walls, and they used lots of pure bleach to try and kill it.
So I used bleach to clean my apartment. And I didn't know that bleach, you know, the harsh chemical from the bleach could harm my already injured lung that I've had for years from my childhood.
She became very sick to the point of coughing up blood. Also because the family used laundry detergent for bathing, thinking it was all just soap because they didn't understand the labels. Saporn says this is what motivates her to do the work she does now, educating new immigrants and refugees about simple ways they can save money and protect their health, like using vinegar and baking soda for cleaning, or beer traps to kill slugs.
You know, the beer that you drink. So people just like, are you sure? You know, beer can get rid of slug? I say, yes, because I've done it myself.
To tie all of this information together for newcomers and to show why it's important to stay away from chemicals, Saporn now takes new arrivals on field trips to see the source of Seattle's drinking water, the Cedar River watershed. It's on pristine land in a protected area 45 miles east of the city near North Bend.
It's beautiful scenery. It's really sparkle my eyes.
Saporn says the aim of these field trips is to give newcomers a feeling of ownership, so they'll want to help take care of the resource. She remembers one woman in particular, part of a group of Burmese and Bhutanese immigrants.
Her impression was saying, wow, before I missed my hometown so much. In here, I feel so miserable and miss my hometown. After I see this watershed, I feel like home. I feel like home. That's the impression that she say. And also other people said, wow, from now on, I don't have to buy bottled water anymore because I can just drink water from my tap because they've seen the source and how it's being processed and how being protected.
But amidst successes like these, there is one constant challenge that Saporn is up against in her work. It's trust. She says many refugees have complete trust in the U.S. government. They think the system is looking out for all of their interests, and this means they assume that anything for sale in a supermarket is safe.
And they would say that if it's harmful to people, the government wouldn't allow that to be available in a store. The same thing about eating fish, the residential fish from the Wabash River.
So Saporn Sim has her work cut out for her. She'll be keeping her eye on this spot on the lower Duwamish for as long as it takes to educate these newcomers who are like fish out of water themselves. People who are full of hope and trust, who are getting used to a new place. People who rely on this unassuming woman for information because they cannot yet read the warning signs to not eat what lives in the water here on this polluted stretch of Seattle's only river.